Good evening. As was announced, our scripture reading is taken from Titus chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. That is chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Titus chapter 1, verses 9 and 10.
Good to be back tonight. Appreciate everyone's presence this evening. We have often pointed out over the years that sin is sin and that all sin is condemned by God. And that is certainly true. There's no question about that. But as we talk about that, we are really talking about the ultimate consequences of sin. We understand that no matter what the sin is, if one refuses to repent of that sin, then that person will be lost and spend eternity in hell. But we all understand, I think we do, I'm sure that we do, that that is only in regard to the ultimate consequences of sin. Certainly, we realize that when it comes down to the immediate consequences of sin, there is a difference in sin. I've often illustrated by simply asking the question, would you rather that I murder you or lie to you? And most of you would say, go ahead and lie to me, don't kill me. Because there's a difference between sin. It's all condemned by God so far as the ultimate consequences, but in the here and now, some sins are more weighty than others. One sin that falls into that category, one sin that certainly is very weighty, very destructive, is the sin of gossip. And we don't talk a whole lot about gossiping, but the fact of the matter is, it is a sin. First of all, we should recognize gossiping is indeed a sin, but it is a sin that can cause all kinds of problems. It is a sin that can destroy relationships. It's a sin that can destroy local congregations. And ultimately, it is a sin that will cause those who are guilty of it and don't repent of it to lose their souls. And so we need to give consideration to the business of gossiping and do everything we can to avoid that particular sin. To gossip is to spread personal news about someone to other people, particularly when it can be construed in a negative fashion. And it doesn't matter if it is a fact, or it doesn't matter if it's rumor. Either way, when it gives off a negative message to somebody else, then you are gossiping about that person, whoever he or she is. And we have to be careful about that. So I want to look simply at two things. First of all, I want to emphasize that that sin of gossip really is a heart problem, or it comes because of a corrupted heart. You might remember in Matthew chapter 7, turn your Bibles over there. And as you're turning there, you realize that when I talk about the heart, I'm not talking about what pumps blood, our physical heart, but the biblical heart, that is the mind. And really, all of the things that we do, all of our behaviors come forth from the heart, whether the behavior is good or bad, whether it is pleasing to God or displeasing to God, it all begins with the heart. And Jesus emphasizes this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and at verse 15. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit." Now, he's talking here about false teachers But I think we can make the application more broader than that, of course. Really, this is true with all of our conduct. He says every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. And again, this doesn't just mean false teacher. Here he's dealing with that specifically. But you can just look at the fruit of my life, and you can tell whether or not I'm a healthy tree or a diseased tree. If I am living in such a way that's contrary to the will of God, you know that my heart is simply not right. And so we need to understand that our conduct is determined by our heart. That is true and applicable to gossip. Because gossip is a conduct, isn't it? And if you're gossiping all the time, then you realize that your heart is indeed corrupt. And there are many other passages that get a little more specific with that. Turn over to Matthew chapter 15. You might remember what Jesus said here that defiles a person. In Matthew 15 at verse 10. Matthew the 15th chapter and at verse 10. It says, "And he called the people to him, and he said to them, hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person. Then his disciples came, and he said to him, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" Probably that would include what was said in verses 8 and 9 as well. "But he answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the, or blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the pit. But Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. This defiles a person, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness," and then he says, "slander." So even the misuse of the tongue falls into this category. He talks about slander here, and certainly that would include gossip. Gossip sometimes involves slander, often involves slander. But all of these acts, murder and adultery, everything that we do, it comes from the heart, including how we communicate and speak. And then there's Luke chapter 6. Turn your Bibles over there just for a moment, and this reads a lot like what we just read and the Sermon on the Mount. But notice in Luke chapter 6, and this time beginning at verse 43. Luke chapter 6 and at verse 43. He says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil." Now again, that sounds a lot like what we just read. But then he says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." And so you realize then, according to Jesus, that how we speak, how we communicate, if we gossip all the time, if we backbite all the time, if we're always sarcastic, if we are using words that are unkind, if we have corrupt communication of any kind, it points back to the heart. And the heart is everything when it comes down to our relationship with God. We're not going to heaven if our hearts are corrupt. If our hearts are not right with God, then we'll be lost. And how we talk and how we communicate says something about our hearts. So it all begins with the heart. Do you gossip? Do you find yourself engaging in that? Do you find yourself spreading personal news about your brothers or sisters in Christ or about anybody to other people? That says something about your heart. Now remember these passages, you can, well, you know, once in a while I do that, but I'm a good, healthy tree anyway. No, if your fruit is bad, the tree is diseased. There's no exceptions to that. You cannot misuse the tongue and turn around and think that everything is okay. It simply is not. So, number two, having established the fact that if you gossip, your heart is not right with God, that leads to the natural conclusion then that we ought to do everything we can to control our tongues, including refusing to gossip. And I recognize that all of us have gossiped. Like, there's not anyone here who has reached the age of accountability who has not at some point in time been guilty of gossiping. We need to take it more seriously. We need to make sure that we're not in the habit of that, that we are not gossipers, that we do that on a regular basis. There are some gossipers in the church. And it's surprising, that is one of the things, maybe because it's sometimes hard to trace things, but it's amazing that gossip is one of the things that the Bible specifically talks about withdrawing for. And yet, I don't know, in all of my years of preaching, I don't know that I've ever seen a church withdraw from somebody who is a gossiper. And again, that might be because it's hard to trace. It might be because we don't take it seriously enough. It might be because sometimes when someone is a gossiper, we just sit back and say, well, you know, so-and-so is a gossiper. Everybody knows he or she is a gossiper. And we talk about it, but nothing is done about it. The fact of the matter is, it is a serious sin, and it is destructive in nature, and it can ruin souls. Not only the one who is the gossiper, but it can cause damage to the point where someone else's faith is weakened and shaken. And so we must take it seriously. That's why James, if you turn over to James chapter 1, James had some things to say about the tongue. Most of us are familiar with the book of James and these verses, but let's read them. In James chapter 1 and at verse 26, James says something very serious. James chapter 1 and verse 26. He says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart. I want you to think about that. A lot of times the gossiper doesn't view himself or herself as being a gossiper. A lot of times the person who is misusing the tongue doesn't realize it. And so there's deception. This is why we have to be so careful. This is why we need to examine ourselves and look at our words and how we communicate to other people and really try to determine, am I a gossiper? Am I misusing my tongue in any way? Because it's easy to fool ourselves into thinking we're not, even if we are. And so James realizes that, and he talks about deception here. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. And so we understand it really doesn't matter what else you do. Now, there are gossipers in the church who excel in other areas, but it doesn't matter. Maybe you attend all the assemblies of the saints. Doesn't matter. Maybe you're a good husband or a good wife. It doesn't matter. He says your religion is in vain. Your religion is worthless if you don't control the tongue. Of course, in James chapter 3, he had a whole lot to say about the tongue, didn't he? If you notice in James chapter 3 and beginning at verse 2, he says, for we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouth of horses so that They obey us. We guide their whole body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. It is amazing how much damage the tongue can do, being such a small member. And there's no question the tongue, as compared to other parts of the body, is a very small member, but it can do terrible things. The wise man in the book of Proverbs once said that life in death is in the tongue. Well, there's not too many things you can say that about. But the Bible does say that about the tongue. Life in death is in the tongue. It's not meant to be taken literally. But it is pointing out that a whole lot of hurt and harm, a whole lot of destruction can come by this small member that we call the tongue. And so we have to be very careful about it. How great, he says, a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and is set on fire by hell. And we can relate. This is the book of James is always described as the most practical book in the New Testament. It is very practical because the illustrations that he gives are ones that we can relate to. And when he talks about the forest here, describing a forest fire, you know that a small match can start a blaze that ultimately will result in all kinds of destructions of acres and acres of trees being burnt down, along with homes that are in the past. People can lose all that they have physically because of a fire that starts with a little tiny blaze. And that's practical, isn't it? Because the tongue, again, can just destroy all kind of things, as I've said, from local churches to families, just with a small beginning. A thoughtless word, a little bit of gossip here or a little bit of gossip there, and things start being destroyed. We have to be careful. Let's make sure it's not us. Make sure it's not you. We all have to control our tongue. Paul said, don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, because he understood this principle set forth by James. Just a few misplaced words can destroy things. And most importantly, we realize that we have to give an account, as Jesus once said, of every idle word, of everything that we say, of all of our speech on the day of judgment. We'll have to give an account of that. So make sure that you guide your tongue, that you protect your tongue. James here, we didn't read it here, but he says the tongue can't be tamed. And all he is saying there is, you can't put your guard down. He's not giving you an excuse to gossip. He's not giving you an excuse to curse or to be sarcastic and engage in those things and just say, you know, James said, I can't control my tongue anyway. I said, no, that's not his point. His point is, be on guard. You can control it, you just can't tame it. You can't tame it to the point where you can put your guard down and think that nothing ever is going to go wrong. No, if you're not very careful, in just an instant you can say something that can destroy lives. So be on guard. Be careful. That's what we have to do as individual Christians. We have to make sure that we guard the tongue. Now, having said all of that, let me just, as I close tonight, tell you this. Twice in the last 3 months or so, I have personally heard of things that have been said negatively from someone in this congregation, not one person, more than one person, in this congregation that has gotten out to other people. And This is a serious matter. I just want to plead with you with regard to this. If you're a part of the Brown Street Church of Christ, simply make up in your mind that you are not ever going to say anything negative about this local church to other people. It's gossip, number one. But we're a family. And all families have problems and difficulties. And we all understand that the Brown Street Church is not a perfect congregation, because the fact of the matter is there isn't any such thing. As I've often pointed out, we're made up of people, and people have flaws. People make mistakes. And while we're all trying to do the best we can, live the best life we can live, sometimes we do make mistakes. And there are areas of weaknesses that we have here at Brown Street that certainly we can work on and do better. There's no doubt about that. I'm convinced that Brown Street is a fine local church, that we have far more positives than negatives. And maybe we ought to dwell on some of those things more. We're blessed to be an organized congregation. We're blessed to have elders, 5 elders. That's amazing, really, when you stop and think about it. I hold meetings all the time for congregations larger than we are that don't have 5 elders, 10 deacons. We have men who are willing to serve, men who can preach and teach, and men who are willing to do that, women who are willing to teach in the Bible classes. The list goes on of good things. We could talk about all kinds of positive things. Do we have problems? Yes. Are there dangers on the horizon? There's no question about that. Listen, this might just be a preacher thing. Maybe preachers are pessimistic. I don't know. But we're declining in number, and that should be alarming to all of us. Like, we need to do something, try to do something. Some things are out of our hands, of course, but we need to try to do something that will help us turn the tide and go back in the right direction from a numerical standpoint. But Brown Street is a fine congregation, sound, faithful congregation. And while we have our problems, and while we have difficulties, if you are offended by someone, or if something is said, or if the elders make decisions that you don't like, or whatever the case is, you do everything in your power to control your tongue. And don't go outside of this spiritual family and say negative things about this local church, because that's devastating to Brown Street. Like, that doesn't help anything. It doesn't help anybody. And the cases that I'm talking about, and again, I'll not give any names or anything like that, but again, twice, it has kind of caught me by surprise that someone is mentioning to me something negative that they heard from here. In one situation, the person is a Christian, and we talked about it, and not a whole lot of damage being done. In the other case, the person was a non-Christian. Like, listen to me now. If you're going to say something negative, and I implore you not ever to say anything negative, we can settle things in-house. If you have a problem, or something frustrating, we can talk about it, but don't talk to other people about it. But certainly, don't ever, ever, ever say anything negative about this local church or any local church or the church as a whole to someone who's not even a Christian. Like, why in the world would you do that? You think that non-Christian, when you say something negative about the church, you think that non-Christian all of a sudden is now closer to obeying the gospel or further away? Like, that's a terrible mistake to do that. So if you have any problems at all, we could talk about it. We have faults and flaws. We don't want to ignore our weaknesses. They need to be dealt with, but they need to be dealt with the right way. And going outside of this local family and saying negative things to other people, it's gossip, and that will destroy your soul. But it's devastating to the local church. We don't want people on the outside of Brown Street thinking negative things about us. We know we have some difficulties and problems. We don't want the whole world to know that. Let's do the best we can to strengthen ourselves in areas of weaknesses and become a stronger congregation, you don't do that by gossiping. So just think about it. And let's try to do better with regard to that in the future. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Maybe you've never put on Christ in the waters of baptism. That is the place where you contact the blood of Christ and your sins are washed away by that precious blood of Jesus. Why not do that here tonight? The water's ready. We're blessed to have a baptistry and always warm water. You can obey the gospel, be buried in the waters of baptism, and be a new creature in Christ in literally just a short period of time. Why not do that? Life is like a vapor. It appears for a while and then vanishes. If you're a child of God and you haven't been living the way you ought to, take advantage of God's second law of pardon. Repent of your sin and ask God for forgiveness. He's such a merciful God. John said he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. Whatever it is, whether it's gossip or maybe it's something else, you can repent of that. You can ask God for forgiveness and he will forgive you. Don't forget, we have Jesus as our advocate. He'll go to the throne of God with you and he'll plead on your behalf. But you have to take the first step. You have to repent and pray God. If you have sinned openly and outwardly and brought shame on this local church, come forward. Let us pray for you and help you and encourage you in any way that we can. But do it right now as we together stand and sing.